Chapter 11. I didn't want to believe it, but I wasn't surprised either. All of the constables in Edenhart were against Edeny and her decrees. They'd willfully disobeyed the Duchess's commands right before our very eyes, and we'd have to do something about it. A country without an obedient police force would crumble, but I guessed it was all for the better because before long there'd be a new order. It would be my kingdom. "Let's get going," I whispered. Valerie, Cleia, Daisy, and I crept down the dirty, darkened alleyway until we reached the small windows pressed into the walls. Each of them was blurred, but from the past experience staying overnight there, it didn't matter anyway because the windows were far too high to reach from inside the cells. "I'm assuming that all the doors are locked from the inside," I thought aloud. "So, one of you will have to climb through one of the windows and let us in." I glanced over my shoulder toward my three women, and each of them stepped forward, ready to do their duty for our family.
"I'll go, Charles. I'm the smallest, so I could probably fit through the window better."
"No," I shook my head. "We'll need you for something else later, and if one of the aristocrats sees you, they'll attack you through the bars. Valerie needs to go in. Use the capsules to incapacitate the aristocrats, and then let us in through the back door."
"Yay for me!"
The feline woman scurried forward, and I knit my fingers together and bent my knees before I hoisted her up closer to the barred window. The cat girl struggled for a second as she attempted to wriggle her curved hips through the bars, but before long she slipped through and disappeared into the darkness below with a soft grunt. I listened to the soft shuffling sounds of her feet and heard the whispering aristocrats in the adjacent cells.
"They're really going to leave us here by ourselves?"
one woman snickered.
"They certainly don't trust Edeny,"
another chuckled.
"No one in the city does anymore, especially not with that shady alchemist around."
"What do you mean?"
a third noble asked.
"You haven't heard the rumors,"
the second woman barked.
"I'm surprised. Everyone in Edenhart is talking about him. Women have been disappearing all over the city, Julia. Haven't you noticed? First Delphine was murdered, Hortensia up and vanished, and now that fancy new female consort disappeared without a trace. All of this stuff started happening as soon as the Duchess got involved with that disgusting alchemist, and Edeny doesn't seem to care that we're all suffering at his hands."
"Do you think he's the reason that all of these women are disappearing?"
a younger voice called, and I instantly realized that it was Valerie speaking.
"He's just a simple doctor and scientist. From what I've heard, he never leaves the manor unless it's with Daisy Browning or the Duchess."
"Don't even get me started on Daisy Browning,"
an older woman snarked in a gravelly voice.
"Have you seen how brainwashed she is when she's around him? She stares at him with adoration. It's disgusting. It's almost as if every woman he comes into contact with falls under his spell."
"They're not brainwashed,"
another familiar voice sneered.
"I can tell you what's happening. They're all madly in love with him. I don't know how, but it's so unnatural. You could see it in their eyes when they look at him. Hell, even when they speak about him. It's not as if they're referring to a brute at all."
Rhianne Florentine cleared her phlegmy throat and let out a bark of a laugh that sent shivers down my spine.
"He's in control of that whole situation,"
Rhianne went on.
"He has them under some sort of spell, probably some sort of dirty alchemist love potion. We all loved Edeny and obeyed all of her orders before he came into the picture. But we all know what's going on now, and we won't relent until she gives up her power. That's why the constables won't obey her. And now we must make an example out of her. We'll have to overthrow her, elect a new leader, and leave the prior Duchess of Edenhart out in the stocks to rot as she did with me this morning. Edeny has made a mockery of Edenhart. We've all seen it, and she can't remain as the leader of our beloved city for another day."
"Well, we all know that's why they started the fire,"
the old woman giggled maniacally.
"And it's only going to get worse from here. Edeny will have no other choice than to address these problems, and then that's when they'll attack."
"Fire?"
the bear girl asked.
"The one that set off the alarms earlier?"
"I think so, but we can't be sure."
Does this mean that all of the aristocrats, constables included, are a direct threat against Edney?
Cleia murmured.
Charles, what can we do?
If they want to make an organized resistance against Edney, then we'll have to strike first and show the aristocrats of Edenheart that this type of behavior isn't accepted in our new world.
They won't know the difference once all of them are monster women. They won't remember how the world was before. They'll only know how happy their new lives are and how we should have done this years ago.
I'm sure that the other aristocrats who figured out that the source of the problem is Charles Rayburn are out there doing something. Now, all we have to do is break out of here and join the...
The old crone's voice cut off with a loud snap, and a soft thump came afterward as her unconscious body fell to the floor. Valerie had snuck out of the cell we'd dropped her into, crept up to Rianne's cell, and threw one of the capsules to shut her up.
What was that?
The younger woman cried.
Rianne?
Another aristocrat babbled.
Oh, you all right?
Louder popping sounds exploded throughout the small jail, and I knew that the job was done. Now all we had to do was go inside, take all of the aristocrats out, and make it look like they'd broken out. The three of us hustled toward the back door right as it swung open, and Valerie's grinning face came into view.
Sorry! I wanted to hear what they were going to say, but when they started trash-talking you, Charles, I couldn't handle it anymore.
What are we gonna do, Charles? They think that you're the cause of all of this.
I want to speak to Edney first, but I have a plan, and it just might work out perfectly for us. Valerie held open the door for us, and we stepped through into the dark, dank jail. I remembered this place and the time I spent here vividly. I'd been in the third cell back, and I'd spent almost an entire night here all by myself, except for a few stray men who'd been locked in the back. In the morning, Edney had swept in her scarlet execution dress and almost brought me out into the streets to be hanged. Right as she opened the cell door, a constable rushed in and told her they'd found Delphine and Milton's bodies. The Duchess now knew that I'd been the one to kill both of them, but she also understood that I'd had to do it because both of them were threats to my family.
There's 8 of them,
Valerie grunted.
Charles, how are we going to get them all back to the wagon? We can't carry them all. Can we?
I'm the strongest out of all of us, so I could probably carry 3 of them, 2 on each of my shoulders and 1 in my arms. Charles could probably carry 2 over each shoulder like me, and then the 2 of you would have to carry 1 on each shoulder and 1 in between you.
But we could easily be caught that way.
Valerie shook her head.
I can't carry 1 woman on my shoulders and lug another one while maintaining concentration on keeping all of us invisible.
Valerie, I know I've already asked a lot of you, but can you run back to the wagon and bring it back here? It'll be easier if we have it here instead of lugging all of them the way back. I only ask you because you're the fastest one in the group.
Of course I'll do it. I don't mind at all. Being in these tiny cramped cells made me antsy anyway. I'll run all the way there to get rid of all this pent-up energy.
I'd say make sure that you're not seen, but there's no way you can be.
Yep.
The cat girl cartwheeled toward the open back door.
I'll be back in a jiffy.
Valerie's body phased out of view, and the only sign we knew she'd left was the soft sounds of her slapping feet against the pavement. I turned toward the locked cells and then scanned the walls for any sign of the keys, but quickly changed my mind about that plan. I settled my eyes on Daisy, and the bear girl lifted her perfectly shaped eyebrows out of curiosity.
What is it, Charles?
Break the bars. If we want them to think that they broke out, that's the most believable way. We can't use the keys because if they're locked in the cells, how did they get them?
Do you think they'd care about little stuff like that? They practically told them to escape earlier.
But think about it. They told them to escape, but Edney doesn't know that. If the constables tell the Duchess that all of their prisoners escaped, then they have to go through the means of investigation, so they'd have to look into how they got out. I'm sure if Edney weren't here, they'd make it all up, but we also have to remember how meticulous the Duchess is. She wants to know every detail and won't stop until they're found. This situation is a bit difficult because Edney is on our side, and she doesn't exactly care if the aristocrats escaped. Still, she will make the constables look into it regardless to keep up the facade that she's the same person she was before.
Got it.
the bear girl grinned, stepped toward the first cell with a sleeping aristocrat inside, and cracked her knuckles.
This'll be fun.
The brunette gripped onto the middle bars and in one swift movement ripped them apart. The metal screeched in protest, but bent into a hole large enough for the aristocrat inside to slip out through. Daisy moved down the aisle as Cleia and I pulled the limp aristocrats out of the cells and piled them up on the floor. As Valerie told us earlier, there were 8 of them in total, and I hoped that Josephine and Ryan back home found enough beasts for us to use when transforming them. It might take us a few days to find creatures to use, but before long we'd have 8 more monster girls in the ranks of our soon-to-be army.
Is this Rhiann?
The Nyx woman asked as she pointed down at a single wrinkled woman's face. I hefted up one of the aristocrat's bodies, slung it over my shoulder, and then glanced toward the aristocrat she'd indicated. She'd only seen the old crone once, but her face was so familiar to me, and I nodded. Yes, that's her, I grunted. Cleia stared down the unconscious woman for a moment, blinked, and then licked her lips before swiveling her eyes back to me.
Can we kill her? I know that we need her for our experiments, but imagine how good it will feel to kill her. I can't stand the way she spoke about you, Charles. It was horrible. I know I only feel that way because I love you so much, but how could another human being feel that way about someone? It's just so heart-wrenching. I couldn't stand to listen to it for another second. And I'm so glad that Valerie knocked them out when she did. I was about to bust in here and do what? Your power hasn't manifested yet, dearie. I know that. But when she talked about Charles that way, I felt something in my body ice over. It was like winter had come, but it was only in the pit of my belly, and it spread throughout the rest of my limbs. I felt like I was on the verge of something happening, but right as it was about to explode out of me, Valerie used the ampules to put them all to sleep.
That sounds like your power is manifesting. It should happen any day now. It's different for each of my monster women, but the general consensus is that it feels like something growing within your body until you can't stop it anymore.
The only person who had her power from the beginning was Daisy.
Valerie grinned as she stepped through the doorway.
But since her power is more of a physical one, it's understandable.
Val, you're back.
I told you it wouldn't take me long. But Charles, there's definitely something going on in town. As I was running down the street, a few wagons of aristocrats flew past me. All of the women were chanting, laughing, and singing. But that's not the scariest part. There's this weird light in the sky. It looks like something bright in the distance. I could only see it as I passed by buildings and saw it through the alleyways. Do you really think there's a fire?
There must be if the constables were dispatched there. But I wonder what they could be burning.
Do you think they... Oh, no! Do you think they attacked the duchy?
No way!
Valerie scrunched up her nose.
They may want to send a message to Edeny, but everyone knows that if they attack the duchy, Edeny has a whole army of guards there waiting to attack. No, they wouldn't hit her that close to home. They may have set something else on fire, maybe like an abandoned building or something like that, but I doubt they'd go after the Duchess's manor.
We stood in silence for a second, and I felt anxiety pool in the pit of my stomach. There was no way that the aristocrats would directly attack the duchy, but they wanted to hit Edeny hard. They already knew that the Duchess's guards would protect her and her home with their lives, so it couldn't be there. What would they burn down that would hurt her the most while leaving the manor alone? Edeny owned everything in this city. All of the homes and businesses, and most of the nobles who lived in them paid their rent and taxes directly to the Duchess. The aristocrats' greed and selfishness would prevent them from burning down their homes and stores, but they wouldn't hesitate to destroy one of the buildings that Edeny still independently owned.
Ugh. I know what they're burning, I grunted.
Daisy grabbed one of the slumped aristocrats by the dress, hefted the body over her shoulder, and then turned to me before heading toward the open door.
What is it?
The mercantile. That's where the Duchess gets the majority of her money. And the other day, when we went to buy supplies, a woman was yelling at Edeny for not having the supplies that she needed.
The aristocrat blamed Edeny for being the one who couldn't get the supplies here. All of them deny the fact that the Queen is attempting to choke off all of Edenheart's resources little by little.
By science? They would really do that? Why? The mercantile is where they buy all of their supplies. Why would they burn down a place that's so useful to the town? It makes absolutely no sense. They're only hurting themselves in the end.
It doesn't matter, their reasoning. I shook my head. They're doing it to send a message to Edeny. They're directly disobeying her decree, and when she finally took action against them by imprisoning those who spoke out first, they revolted.
Oh, Edeny is not going to be happy. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to laugh, but we all know Edeny when she's mad. I wouldn't be surprised if she set this whole town on fire herself after everything they've done so far. This is the place where her ancestors set down roots and built a blossoming city. We all know that she'd rather die than to see the citizens destroy it.
Edeny cares more about getting the capital back than Edenheart, I stated, grabbed an aristocrat, and slung her over my shoulder. I'm sure that once I'm in power, this tiny little town will be the farthest thing from her mind. Sure, she loves this city, but not as much as she desires the capital. Taking back the city taken from her family outweighs everything in her mind. Sure, she'll be angry, but Edeny's 10 times more powerful than before, and she would kill everyone in this town with a wave of her hand. I held the aristocrat tightly over my shoulder and stepped around the pile of bodies on the floor. I moved through the open doorway and then tossed the unconscious aristocrat onto the back of the wagon. I glanced up toward the sky and saw what Valerie had mentioned earlier. The night sky was painted a light blue by an orangish-yellow light off in the distance. The illumination moved and swayed through the air like the dancing of flames. I could smell the hint of smoke coming off the fire, and my hands instinctively curled into fists. I stepped back inside the jail and grabbed for another aristocrat's heavy dress. "Daisy, did you see where the twins were?" I asked. "They were supposed to be arrested along with Rhiann."
"Yes, I already put them in the back of the wagon. They were in the same cell as Rhiann."
"Those poor girls! They wanted to help us, and that horrible woman prevented them from doing it."
"Don't be sad." I reached out a hand and rested it against her shoulder. "They'll help us in one way or another. They'll serve in our army and aid us in defeating the Queen. Just because they wanted to go along with the decree willingly doesn't mean that they're good people. They may be young girls, but we have to remember that they're still aristocrats, and they believe the same thing as Rhiann. No matter how nice a person is in this city, they're still our enemies."
"Well, that's not exactly true. Josephine is the exception."
"Yes, you're right about that. But I doubt that there's more than one harlot in Edenheart. Maybe when we start transforming women, we can find more of them. But I highly doubt it. Josephine told us that the harlot masses are spread out all over the world and work independently."
"We should reach out to them. Tell them what's happening and what we're planning so we can band together."
"I'll tell her when we get back to the manor," I murmured, and then gestured to an unconscious aristocrat. "I think this is the last aristocrat. Let's get them packed up and get out of here before the constables get back. I'm not worried that they'll catch us, but we never know when they'll finish up with the fire."
"The new chief constable said to bring in as many brutes as they could to boost their monthly reports."
Daisy rolled her eyes.
"So I messed up the cell doors so they can easily escape."
"I'm so goddamn tired of these stupid aristocrats. I hate the way they treat men. It's so disgusting."
"I like to say you get used to it, but you don't. Since I'm the only monster woman who can easily hide her augmentations, I essentially have to be the face of the family. It's been that way for a long time, so I've had the most interaction with aristocrats, and it's unbelievably tiring. The deplorable rhetoric never ends."
"It will very soon," I chuckled darkly. "And then they will sing nothing but love for men, and all of us will live happily together in unity."
"That sounds so beautiful. But so far away."
"It's not. Edenheart is already ours. It may seem like everything is falling apart, but this is exactly what we wanted all along. We want the women to revolt and rise against us, because then we finally have the excuse to smite them. We won't kill them, but we'll hurt them enough to break them down and make them obey our commands. Before long, this whole city will be entirely made up of monster women, and they will serve in our army."
"I can't wait,"
Daisy chuckled. "All right," I grunted, and threw the last aristocrat onto the wagon. That's the last one. Let's get out of here before the constables get back. I glanced around the room one last time and made sure we'd left no traces behind. Not like the constables would look for much, but I had to be sure. I nodded to myself, cracked my knuckles, and stepped through the open door. I moved to close it and then changed my mind. It'd be more believable if the door were left open, so I left it that way and climbed into the wagon's driver's seat. Daisy clambered in beside me, and Cleia and Valerie grappled over the cart's side. Once we were all in, I snapped the reins against the horses' backs, and we pulled away from the courthouse with our precious cargo in the back. As we drove toward the main road, I saw again what Valerie had mentioned. The sky to the north was bright orange, and I felt a faint heat that wasn't associated with this time of year. The street seemed busier now, and a few wagons moved from side streets to the darkened alleys. All of them were piled full of women, and just as the feline woman told us, they laughed loudly and sang to each other as if they'd just come from a party. I waited until the third carriage filled with nobles moved past and then pulled out onto the main street, but ahead of us, I spied the shape of a carriage coming straight for us. If we were spotted with a cart full of unconscious aristocrats in the back, that'd be the end. My heart hammered wildly in my chest, and sweat dripped down the sides of my face, so I hastily glanced over my shoulder toward the ash blonde in the back. "Val, do you think you could..."
"On it!"
The feline woman nodded without needing further explanation.
"An invisibility screen! Here we go!"
The cat girl's blue eyes fluttered closed, and her ears flattened against the sides of her head as she concentrated. The strange feeling from earlier washed over me for a second, and then slowly faded away as I got more comfortable with it. The approaching carriage's coachman didn't seem to see us as we slipped up the opposite side of the road, but once we got close enough to see his face, his expression changed. The driver certainly could hear the rattle and clatter of our wagon, but he couldn't see us. The coachman's eyes narrowed on the area we were supposed to be, and then swiveled farther up the road, but came right back to the road where we should have been. He seemed obviously confused, but sighed softly, shrugged, and snapped the reins against the horses' backs as we passed him. Through the windows of the carriage, we saw six aristocrats crammed into the back, and all of them laughed uproariously with their heads thrown back. It seemed as if the mercantile burning was a joyous occasion, and all of Edenheart's aristocrats had gone out to witness it. Rage burned in my belly, but I quelled it quickly and turned my eyes back toward the road ahead of us. "They'll learn soon enough," I growled aloud. "All of them will know who's in charge here soon enough. They're powerless to stop it." My women seemed to understand what I meant instantly, and an eerie silence fell upon us. The air was pregnant with what needed to be done, and what all of us knew would take place within the next few coming weeks. We already have Edenheart under control, but the aristocrats in the city were deliberately disobeying the Duchess's decrees. They were all going to pay. Sure, there was safety in numbers, but certainly not against Edeny. Hadn't they learned this already from before? The Duchess ruled with an iron fist, and nothing had changed since then. All of this felt like the nobles were bratty children throwing a temper tantrum because their benevolent mother told them no for the first time. They'd learn. All of them would learn what happened when they crossed my monster girls and me. And I couldn't fucking wait. It only took a few minutes to navigate the mostly empty streets and pull onto the deserted drive toward the manor. The lights were on in the house, so I assumed that either Edeny was up and working on more decrees, or Josephine and Ryan had returned home from their search for magical creatures.
"Oh, science, Charles! Look!"
I whipped my head in the direction and finally saw it. Part of the horizon blazed bright orange and neon yellow with the rising flames. There was no doubt in my mind that it was the mercantile anymore. I kept my eyes on it as the horses pulled us closer and closer to the manor, and right as we rode over the hill's crest, I spied a familiar figure standing on the front porch. Edeny was backlit by the burning lamps on either side of the door, and she cupped her crossed arms elbows as she stared out over the illuminated city. All of the houses were dark, and the only light came from the brightly burning mercantile. This was what the aristocrats had wanted. They'd wanted to send a sign to the Duchess all the way up on the hill in my manor. Before I pulled to a stop in front of the stairs, I noticed stacks and stacks of metal boxes all around the yard. I wasn't sure what they were or if Edeny had been the one to bring them here, but they weren't my biggest concern right now. I dropped the reins from my hands and hopped down to the gravel. Edeny!
I see it, Charles.
The she-wolf breathed, and her pointed ears lowered to the sides of her head.
It's the mercantile, isn't it?
Yes, I believe so.
They're trying to hurt me. They're burning down one of the businesses that brings me the most money.
That's not the worst part of it, I shook my head.
Oh, what else could there be?
The constables are against us. When we snuck into the jail to steal the aristocrats, the fire alarm went off, and the chief constable said that all of the constables were leaving, and if the aristocrats inside wanted to break out, now was their time. Then she said something along the lines of, what can Edeny do? Not believe us when we say they broke out? We're her only means of protection.
So, the entire police force is against me too. My only protection, they say.
For half a second, Edeny looked as if she were about to cry. The Duchess's lips puckered out, her eyes watered, and her usually pale cheeks flushed a light pink. But right as I expected her to break, the she-wolf rocked forward with baying laughter. She laughed so hard that she pressed her delicate hands to her knees and guffawed at the porch's floorboards.
Edeny?
Valerie called from below.
Are you all right?
The Duchess hiccuped, giggled through closed lips, and wiped a tear away from her eyes with the back of her hand.
Oh, my darling girl.
The she-wolf shook her head and attempted to hide the uncontrollable giggles bubbling up her throat.
I'm more than all right. I'm ecstatic. Sure, I'm a little sad to see the mercantile go since I just got it back from Delphine's clutches. But this doesn't stop Charles's plan at all.
This means we can move on to our next course of action, I grinned, and an understanding passed between the Duchess and I. They wanted Edeny's attention, and now they have it. My love, why don't we give them an audience?
Yes, I'll meet with them and listen to their complaints.
Edeny breathed a heavy sigh, adjusted her shoulders, and floated into the house with that. Valerie, Daisy, and Cleia stood at the bottom of the stairs with confused faces, but they would soon learn what we meant. Edeny and I would have our audience with the citizens of Edenheart, but shortly afterwards, all of them would be transformed into monster women in my army.
Charles?
The ash blonde squeaked.
What was that? What did she mean?
Don't worry, I breathed, leaned my head back, and stared up at the beautiful night sky. You'll understand soon enough. The door behind us flung open, and Ryan and Josephine burst out. Both of them wore expressions of confusion and excitement. The imp woman immediately threw her arms around me, and I enclosed her in a tight embrace.
Charles!
The honey blonde squealed.
Charles!
The red-skinned imp stammered. What's the matter? I whispered into her ear.
What did you do to Edeny? She came in the door laughing like a goddamn maniac. What happened? Did something good happen?
It's nothing. Our plans are going perfectly. There's no need to worry, my love. Within a few days, Edenheart will be ours. And I don't mean the way it is now. It'll be ours and filled with beautiful and loving women exactly like you.
Charles!
Josephine squealed excitedly as Ryan finally pulled away from me.
Oh my goodness, Charles, we have so much to show you.
What? Show me what? The heiress stepped down a couple of stairs, grinned up at me, and gestured toward the hundreds of crates out in the yard.
What? What are they? They're just boxes, right?
No.
Josephine shook her head.
The boxes are nothing of consequence. It's what's inside the boxes that really matters.
What's in the boxes, then?
Cleia giggled.
Beasties! Edeny called for a bunch of her trappers to help us search the forest, and we found so many creatures.
Wait, what? My eyes moved over all of the metal crates for a long moment, and then I swiveled them back toward Josephine. The containers varied in sizes from small to medium, with a few larger ones here and there. Each of them contained a beast that the trappers and Josephine and Ryan caught in the woods. How many? How many did you find?
250!
The heiress sang. Really? How did you find so many, and so quickly?
Well, technically we only caught about 15 of them. Apparently all of this time, Edeny had her trappers catching and collecting beasts for the upcoming experiments. Right as we returned home with the 15 creatures, Edeni's trappers brought up wagons full of the metal crates.
So, did you get anything big so we can use the core for multiple experiments at once?
Sadly, no,
Josephine whispered.
The trappers said that the larger beasts are only located in the mountains, and Edeni only instructed them to search around Edenheart, so they only found a few larger beasts.
Well, maybe the larger beasts know something that the rest of society doesn't, I tittered.
The aristocrats are terrible, and they all should die at our hands.
Something along those lines. But it's good that you got all of these. We've got 8 new patients to experiment on, and I don't want to waste any time getting to work. So, why don't we get started? We need to get these women and 8 beasts down into the laboratory. It might take some time to transform all of them, but I have enough tranquilizer down there to keep them asleep for a month.
Charles, what about the fire? Isn't there anything we can do, or any way that we can help Edeni?
Don't worry. We'll worry about that later. Edeni and I have it all figured out. When tomorrow comes, the Duchess will send out an announcement that she will meet with the citizens of Edenheart and hear their complaints.
But what happens after that? The aristocrats will go mad once they're in the Duchess's presence. Not only that, but they can't see Edeni. How will she meet with them?
I have a plan, I stated in a calm, authoritative tone. We'll use devices of my design to incapacitate them, and if they resist, Josephine will step in and stop them.
Me? What do you mean, Charles?
Your power. You can control people's bodies. You'll simply hold all of the aristocrats in place as we drug them and bring them back here to be transformed. Easy as that, isn't it? In one swift moment, we'll have all of Edenheart in the palm of our hands, and we can do whatever we want with them. We'll have our entire army in an instant. Isn't that grand? First, we take Edenheart, my loves, and then we take over the world. No one can stop us. No one can stand in our way.